Widgie!
Yo, what's going down? Widgie, you on the recovery pod? Do you have any? Jeez, jump right on me. Right, how you want to kick this thing off, girl?
Okay, so this thunderstorm that's happening currently, that we discuss, as we discussed, does not happen very often around here. Every time there is a thunderstorm now, it makes me go back to. What are you doing?
I didn't know if it was on.
Oh.
Sorry. Please continue.
It always makes me go back to when I first started going to meetings. Now, this was, like I've said previously, when I first got out of rehab, I didn't go to meetings for a year or two. But this is, there was a day I remember in the summer of 2019, and it was the first day I felt like I'm gonna be okay. Like I don't have to just push through misery. That's not what recovery is all about. It took me a couple of years to get to that day, but I think it was a day or two after my first meeting, my first NA meeting with you guys. And you and I talked about Eckhart Tolle when I first met you. And then, so this one day I come, it was like thunderstorming, and I come home and I'm like cooking dinner. I'm by myself. And I'm playing lo-fi, and I feel so much serenity and just happiness. And I think it, was like having went to that meeting for the first time, just really, it just really like put me there, and I was okay and happy being by myself. And then I remember after I ate the dinner, I just started reading Eckhart Tolle with my little nightlight and the thunderstorm at the window. And I will never forget about that day. It was probably one of my best days of my life. Like just when I was like by myself. I didn't have those days for a while after, but yeah, it always makes me think of that.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I don't have a lot of well, I feel like nature has always, I'm not like a big nature guy. I'm not like always trying to be outside and out and about in nature, but I will say that nature has been a pretty significant part of my recovery as far as like, I don't even want to say connecting me to a higher power, like just making me feel extremely present. Which I do relate with being connected spiritually. Like my moon thing in rehab. You know, so I was really just like, I don't know, really in my head and anti-God, anti anything higher power in my early days in rehab. And, you know, when someone was just like, hey, you know, it was Clay who got me into books. He's like, you know, can you just feel like the sun rotates and that is a power greater than you? I'm like, sure. Yes. I do not control the sun. You know what I mean? So like the earth rotating, you know, is a power greater than me. And then it literally started as simple as that, you know, and from that I'm like, okay, and it does spin pretty damn perfectly. Like the seasons line up. We don't drift and get too cold or drift and get too close to the sun and get too hot and just burn alive. Like, you know, so I start thinking of how like the perfectness of it, you know, can manifest. And I'm like, yeah, that is pretty powerful and it's not something I need to understand. It's just something I can observe and be like, this is bigger than me. And a lot does have to work out for this to exist. So, kind of cool. You know, but then I look at the moon and, you know, this was like end of the day in rehab, you know, when we have like that free hour or two to just do whatever. I'd typically choose to go smoke cigarettes, you know, and I'd go outside and I'd just kind of step away from anybody else out there and go look at the moon, especially if it was out and like bright. And that would be like my quiet moment because I was a mile a minute in rehab. Like,
Yeah.
I was the annoying person there where if we were around each other, I was talking and trying to just walk up on people and jabber jaw. And I mean, it was crazy. But that was my moment of not doing that and just going over there and l just staring at the moon and not really thinking, do you exist? Do you not exist? I believe you. I don't believe you. Just looking at it and being like, I'm on board with this.
Yeah.
And it was cool. And then there was this rock out there where I would stand on it just to be closer to it. So that was kind of cool too. Where I don't know. It was
That's
just,
so wholesome.
it was like my way of, I guess, feeling like I'm putting in some effort to get closer. You know, and it worked. And that carried with me like far into my recovery. Like when I got home, I would sit outside. It's always related with cigarettes, but really that's the only thing that got me outside in early recovery. Like specifically, where I was outside for a different reason and had the opportunity to be looking at the sky, you know. So, like, normally I'm out when I was out there, I'd be on my phone, scrolling, listening to something. But typically at night, during my last one of the day, I wouldn't have my phone. And I would just sit there and look at the stars or look at the sky and just have a quiet moment and just be like, thank you for today, you know, and just sometimes see a shooting star, sometimes just, I don't know, but it was nice.
Yeah.
And then pink clouds, of course, like pink clouds have always been like a thing for me. And still to this day, if I see like a pink sky, pink sunset, you know, just that colorful sky, it just instantly makes me feel extremely present, serenity, hopeful. Like, even for a moment, it's just like, hey. And there was this one meeting I'd always leave where the sky was like that. And
Oh, the Everett one.
yeah, and it was just like, just that extra like boost of just
Yeah.
like, was pretty dope. But I mean, for someone who really could give a shit less about that in my active addiction, like I didn't care about those things. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's just a way to like reground myself just to the world and to everything that's going on. Like outside of these four walls here, there's so much going on, so much connectedness, so much like miracles, so much just stuff happening. And I don't know, like when I think of it on like a bigger scale, it's just kind of like, man, we really are just grains of sand, you know? And I don't know, it takes away some of my self-importance. I don't know, just makes me, and that's good for me. Like, that doesn't make me feel insignificant in a bad way. That makes me feel like a link in the chain, you know?
Yeah, part of the process.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I've always really liked it when you talked about that, 'cause it's like it makes me think of all of the ways that I see higher power in this world. Like, that's just outside of like, oh, this feeling, or oh, you know, whatever. Like, it's like, first of all, like, yeah, the Earth's rotating around the sun, the moon's rotating around Earth, this whole solar system, all these planets, the galaxy spinning, this, and that. That's on the much larger scale, but then we can go into a much smaller scale. And our bodies, the way there's like so much intelligence in our bodies that's happening that we don't even know is happening. Our heart is beating, our lungs are working, our blood is flowing, our nervous system is doing its thing, you know, like down to a molecular level, like blood cells. They're doing shit and they're fucking small, dude. Like, but they're doing shit. And that is some really, really insane amount of power right there that none of us know how to do or can or ever will, you know? So, but yeah, and it's like, higher power is all around, but at the same time, you know, I used to try to I've always had a problem with needing to know. I always try to make sense or find meaning in everything. Like the all the unknown things, like, you know, the supernatural, the you know, the spiritual, the this and that. And it used to take up so much of my brain power and energy. But now I've learned I don't care. Like, it is no longer important to me. I'm not supposed to know. But what I'm supposed to do is focus on this world, this 3D world, and what, like, the reality, and being present with myself, my body, you know, and everything that goes along with that. Like, I want to dedicate my life spending. Want to dedicate my brain power and putting it into something that's actually useful for this world, you know. Being part of NA, my job, family, you know, service work, like I can do both. So
There's a lot of things that, like, before with my self-centered mindset, it's like to change the world, I had to do something major. Like, I had to impact on such a huge scale. And everybody knew about it, and that's the only way I could deem myself as, appropriately contributing, to my standards. But it's like, I don't know, I really like that recovery has taught me that it could be as simple as helping one person, like making some old lady smile while I'm stocking shelves, raising my kid, taking care of the cat, it could be anything. Just something that, like, being a part of the process in a helpful way. And so much of it's interconnected. Like, who knows if what I do today spawns something great, something minor, something, and who's to say what's great? Like, do I have to be a top-selling, like, novelist that millions of people validate and worship to be considered great, like in the eyes of a higher power or something, like whoever's really ultimately judging. Or could it be like, nah, you helped people at all these meetings, and your name was never mentioned in any type of praise, and I view that as greater. You know what I mean? But there's so much, like, if we're still on like the processes happening, higher power, big and small scale, like even with, just meetings, for example, like there's been so many times where in meetings it would be like something someone said, and it gave me this feeling where I was like, man, we were both meant to be here tonight. Like, I needed to hear what you said, or Maybe there's times I feel like someone needed to hear what I said, or just somehow like the vibe, like even tonight's meeting, five of us. And, at first it was like, oh, this is going to be a real short, small, meh meeting. Like I could think that just looking at the numbers. And it was such a good meeting. Like, it was like, wow, like this was, I don't know, like me and Eric were both kind of messaging each other, like, yo, that meeting was fucking fire. And I don't know, like that's the connectedness of it. Or I bump into Clay in rehab, he tells me something, I start reading books, Marx tells me about Eckhart Tolle, I tell you, we take, collect, share all these things all throughout the world. We don't really know what's going to be relevant to the next person or not. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you're in a meeting, someone says something hella random, and you're just like, oh, that really stuck out to me. And you're like, really that? And I don't know. I think recovery, I think what for me, what really makes recovery worthwhile is just being open-minded to this concept. Because before, like, whether I'm thinking addiction, pre-addiction, I mean, I was a kid, but none of that stuff even registered. You know what I mean? I wasn't able to see positive connections like that, like where all these things were happening in a good way. You know, and I feel like for a lot of us out there, if we're not at a place where we're hopeful or seeing these connections, we can write it off and just continue to kind of live away from that. You know what I mean? Like people will just be like, oh, it's just a coincidence, and think nothing more of it.
Oh. Couple things. First thing we're talking about, yeah, when I was thinking like, oh, I have to do this big thing for a lot of people, the little things don't really count. It's like I'm thinking like, oh, I'm too good for this one person. I want to be like bigger than that. I want it to be everybody or something. Like that right there, it's like such a I don't know, like narcissistic way of thinking, because it's like just the like every single person is almost like, I mean, they're all like part of this world and they're j just as much as the world as a whole, if that makes sense. Like everybody around me, I end up like every speck of good I put into this world, it's like it makes a difference. So, I know before it was like, oh, I want the glory, I want to be seen. But it's like, I don't want that anymore. I just knowing that I did something, I put in something good for this world is enough for me. Like, if before it was the ego wanting to feed the ego, which that was never enough. That was never fulfilled. But the, I don't know, I guess the higher power part of me, the God in me is like, if that gets fed, it's like, yeah, that is the most fulfilling thing ever. You know? So that. And then, oh, what was the last thing you were saying? What was the last thing you were saying?
I don't know.
Damn it.
I lost it. But yeah, no, like it's hard. It's hard for me not to like think in those grandiose ways, even still sometimes, where it's just like it's hard to not measure because that's how the world is measured. Like your status, your money, your power, your prestige. Like these people, you are the people we see are the people who are bigger and louder and brighter. You know what I mean? So it's hard sometimes, even still, for me to be like, that's not the way it has to be. You know, it's you can make such an impact in this world just by being yourself. Like that was a topic part of our meeting too. Like the daily reading from today is, you know, there's no one right way to recover. So like being yourself, and that is the best thing you can do. And for me, when I'm living just satisfied with where I'm at, with connecting with people, big or small, in the eyes of the world, you know, whether these little encounters I have are super impactful or, you know, seemingly insignificant, like just a small scale, like it hits the same. You know what I mean? Like, sure, there's been times where I facilitated a group and it was a really good group, and you know, maybe someone commented on it, or maybe I saw in their like reactions that there was some validation there. You know what I mean? It could give me some ego stuff, like, oh, hey, yeah, I'm really good at this group facilitating thing, or that was fun, right? But like, that's not why I'm doing it, you know, and I don't know, it's just, you know what I'm trying to say? Like it's hard to not get caught up in these things. But I will say, like, I've had one-on-one conversations where nobody learned, no, I don't go tell anybody that I had it. You know, it's just me and one other person, and the vibe is the same, where it's just like something is said with true authenticity, with the only motive is to like help each other, and it's just like goosebumps type shit, where it's just like, ah, this is what it's all about. And that's that connectedness. Like, to me, that's like higher power shit too, where, you know, whatever it took for us to get to this moment and wherever we go from here, like it's just, it can only be positive, you know. And this is what I believe, like, we're put here for, is to learn these things, to, you know, develop that mindset of wanting to be of service, of wanting to help and do better, and just helping people get through this thing we call life. Like, it's kind of a trip.
So I remembered the first thing you were saying about coincidence in an active addiction, or even well before that. I'll start with my childhood, as I always do.
Whoa.
I did not have the ability to think big, to think outside of myself, to see a bigger picture. My main focus was survival and trying to get my needs met or fulfilled that were not met and fulfilled the right way. So that's where it all began. And that's how it was all the way up until recovery, where it's all about me, because how do I get my next fix? How do I get my next need met? Because it's not filled, and I need it filled as a fucking human being. And I take the matters into my own hands, and I ruin my life, right? So in recovery, once I start piecing this all together, I am now able to step out of myself. I am now able to see bigger pictures. Therefore, I am able to let go of having matters in my own hands. I'm able to turn it over because I know that the way I did it is not right. Self-will is like, I can't do it. And then I end up learning about myself and healing. And then now I can see all of this incredible higher power shit that is constantly happening. Because I can step outside of myself. I can get into observer mode, which is damn near impossible when I'm surviving, you know? Now, the next thing you were talking about was There is no right way to recover. Yeah, I mean, there is no right or wrong, like in general. Now, what I be strongly believe is there authentic or non-authentic? Good intentions or bad intentions? Authenticity leads to good intentions, non-authenticity, bad intentions. Self-will or God's will, right? Don't want to label right or wrong, but I think you get the idea here. So when you're in recovery, are you trying to authentically be the best version of yourself? Are you trying to do good? Are you trying to, like be moved by like love and good intentions? Or are you trying to weasel your way into using or trying to make excuses or, stuff like that? So, does that make sense
Yeah.
what I'm saying? So like it's also like a really crazy paradox, like principles over personalities, but also individualism is highly valued. Like, where do we find that balance? Well, once again, our authenticity lies the most in principles. Now, our personalities, on the other hand, can take us into the ego, can take us into the separatedness. So it's like when we come together as a whole, each one of our, parts of higher power can just come in together and we become higher power. Now, if we stray away from that connectedness and, one-on-one gets together and it's, somebody gets in a fight, the one-on-one, the other, they end up talking each other into using. But when we're together, the entire as a whole, like, that's when we're able to keep each other in check and speak the messages to each other. Now, sponsorship is really important, but it has to be with somebody who has had decent clean time, who can, kind of talk sense into you. But you also need the group also, because sponsors aren't perfect, right? We learn that. So yeah, that's it.
I'm like, don't just switch to another topic. I want to say something about the last one. Yeah, I was kind of thinking this.
That's I've been thinking that this whole pod.
Well, we need to start cutting each other off again instead of
Okay.
going on long tangents and backtracking.
Okay.
So like I was thinking this on the meeting, and it's kind of, you touched on a lot of it, but the whole being yourself thing, like there's no one right way to recover. I feel like needs to come with a little bit of a disclaimer slash breakdown where it's like, it's easy for me as an addict to think that some people out there, because I thought it, like, well, what if me is using? You know what I mean? Or me is just this defect person. So, it got me thinking about it a little bit where it's like, okay, like, we need to separate when we think of that is like, okay, who is the authentic part? The authentic me is whoever is feeling the feeling that makes me want to use, not the action of using. The authentic me is the one who doesn't want to be in these situations, like the job, the relationship, the living situation that has me discontent and angry and acting defected. The authentic real me is underneath that. So when we say we want you to be yourself and that's the best thing you can be, like to this world, like there's so many things out there that are like the best gift you can get is being yourself. Like it's a disservice to God to like try to be someone else. You are you. You are the only you with your experiences, with your personality, you know? And it's hard for me not to think of like anger, defects, you know, bad behavior. But what are these things? What is using? What is defects? What is bad behavior? It's all reactions to an unaddressed need or pain, you know? And that doesn't mean that's who I am. I am not the angry person because I have unaddressed things in my life. I am not the addict because I'm running from problems I'm not addressing in my life. I am not the defects that react because of these unaddressed things in my life. Like, there's a theme here. Unaddressed things in my life. Like, I don't know about you, but like for me and most people I've come into contact with, the reasons we used, the reasons we got bitter in life, the reasons all these things happen are because we just either didn't know how to or didn't know it would result in anything better, but did not address things in life that needed to be addressed. Whether it's old shit, current shit, hypothetical shit, learning how to get out of our heads, learning how to get over the past, whatever it is, you know, we. So that's not us. Us is who we are when we're like prime. And I don't mean just like happy and like only our absolute best, like hyper mode, but I mean when we're just true and authentic, nothing's bothering us, maybe nothing's hyping us up too much, but that's us. You know what I mean? That's what we can give. And we all want to do right. The only people in this world who want to hurt and do wrong are people who are hurting. You know, so separating those things and being that true, authentic self really is, you know, that's what we all want in recovery. That's what we need. Like, we need to see real. But even with all that being said, you know, bring while you got them, if that's where you're at, bring the defects. While you're at it, you know, bring the pain, bring the. You know, it's always hard when you get that new person in a meeting who doesn't like know the meeting etiquette yet. Like they don't they cut in while you're sharing, they go on and on about woe is me. They do all these things and it can be frustrating to people who've been there for a while, but at the same time, it's like we need you. Like you're only gonna get it by coming back. And every time, even the most hopeless people I've seen start to adjust, you know, and kind of get on board with the way we do things, you know, and make progress. But yeah, I don't know. I was just thinking of that where it's just like, because for the longest time when I was using, it was like, this is just who I am. You know, and it's because maybe I thought that's who I was because I felt freer to like socialize or joke or just I don't know, less in my head when I was using. But maybe that shy person is who I am. Maybe the one who thinks a little more about what he says and does is who I am, you know,
That's not what your chart says.
well, damn it.
Talking about
Erase the pod. Let's just go back.
authenticity, like, that's funny how you say, like, oh, maybe the authentic me was the one that did want to use and be bad. And it's like, it's funny that we get so lost that we forget who we truly were. Like, when we're born, when we're children, we are put into this world authentic. Kids in early years before the world has fucked them up are so pure and authentic and honest, you know, and they don't try to be anything. If they want attention, they're very, very obvious about them wanting attention. They don't try to hide it. And it's like, what happens is we lose our authenticity because we end up getting hurt several times or whatever, and we end up having to hide. And so, and we end up hiding. Like, we're naturally very open, loving creatures. And if, you know, we become anything less than that, that's already like it's protection. It is not being authentic. It is not being open or vulnerable, you know.
Well, I mean, I gotta disagree a little bit with that. Like, I get that. I get what you're saying, and I don't fully disagree with it. But I also, I guess, believe on the other side of the coin that, like, everybody isn't supposed to be a certain way.
No.
You know what I mean? So, like, looking back, sure, a lot of fear-based thinking in my social aspects when I was shutting down before I was using to come out of that shell. But also, like, you know, I don't know. I can't help but also look back and think that some positives came out of it, where it's like I developed imagination. I developed an ability to pause. You know what I mean? Not everybody has that, where they can like pause before they say what they're thinking. And, you know, yes, there were some times where that was, but it's just, so I always had this thing where it's just as authentic to like withhold something as it is to authentically say what is on your mind. Like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, if I have something in my head, it's the only answer isn't you're only authentic if you say it. Sometimes it's just as authentic to say I choose to say something else. And I don't mean like bold-faced lying or anything, but like, I don't know. I definitely see what you're saying, and I do agree when it comes to like altering and living in fear-based, like, you know, closing yourself off from what you really want to say and do. But I also see some benefit in not always saying what I want to say and doing what I want to do.
Hey, what's going down? Thanks for listening to the pod. If you want to check us out, we got a Facebook page, facebook.com/therecoverypodcast. We got a Facebook group. Feel free to join. We got a TikTok page you can follow. We got some things on there. We got an Instagram we're not really that active on, but you know what? If we got some engagement from you, might be on there a little more. So come check us out.